Welcome to the Word of Life Tabernacle podcast, where we know one word from God can change your life today. From wherever you are listening, we hope you are encouraged by this week's message.
To Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21. And I want to teach from the subject, the Lord has need of you. The Lord has need of you. And I want to use as a subtopic, I have chosen you. You don't realize you've been chosen. You've been chosen. God needs you. You might go, wait a minute, God don't need anyone. I said the Lord had need of thee. Now understand what I'm saying. God, the Father, don't need anyone to be who he is. He's God all by himself. The only one who can be self-sufficient is God. But the Lord has need of you. Jesus does, in other words. Oh, but why would he have need of me? Simply because when God created the first Adam, he was made from what? The dust of the earth. Huh? But the second Adam had to relate to man. And because men were born, he needed a body. Think about it. Mary, a virgin. Why would Jesus, because he had to relate to man, he had to come as a man. And he still needs a body. He needs your body. Okay? So he got in the earth through Mary, but he's going to stay in the earth through you and I. Watch this. We are called the body. Ooh, y'all got woke. He's in you. That's how he heals. That's how he preached. He gives apostles, prophets. He's using my body. He used somebody. So the Lord has need of you. Look at your name and say, the Lord has need of you. Now, what the devil has tried to do is cancel you, disqualify you. And we're going to knock all that stuff in the head. I'm going to let you know God will use anyone and use just ordinary people. Just ordinary people. It's not so much God. The best ability is availability. You don't have to be perfect. Amen? I want you to get some revelation here. We're going to unpack some scriptures. Let's look at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21, verses 1 through 7. And when they drew near nigh unto Jerusalem, they was come to Bethany, unto the Mount of Olives. Then said Jesus, two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt. Now, a colt is a male castrated baby of the donkey. Sometimes we forget. You read this sometime. He said, you're going to find an ass, a donkey. That's the mama. And I want you to bring the baby. Now, anyone from the country knows exactly what I'm talking about. Nobody wants to raise colts. But anyway, just a little knowledge because that's going to mean something. He says, I want you to tied a colt with her. He said, you'll find straightway a donkey and a colt tied with her and bring them unto me. See that? He said, you're going to find an ass, you're going to find a colt, the baby and the mama, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. Look at your name and say, the Lord has need of you. So Jesus needs someone. He needs a body. We're called the body of Christ. We're the hand, feet, eyes, the body. So you are important. You have value. Praise God. And he says here, the Lord, tell them the Lord have need of them, and straightway he will send them. And this was done that it might be fulfilled that spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king, thy king cometh unto thee meek, in other words, lowly, humble, sitting upon an ass, and a colt on the fore of the ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them and brought the ass and the colt and put on them clothes. That's important. because clothes represent the office. God is not anointing the donkey. See, he's not trying to elevate the donkey. He's trying to elevate the office. When he said clothes, he put on there and he sat on there. In other words, the clothes represents an office, a change of place. God is saying, I want to elevate the office. I want to, your purpose. How many of you, just say if you work for a restaurant, you have a certain clothes that you wear at the restaurant. Well, when you come home, you don't wear your restaurant clothes out everywhere. You change clothes. Why? Because you want them to know I'm changing my purpose. Huh? If you work for the post office, you don't wear your United States Post Office to church. Why? You're in a different office. And God is saying that I'm not just anointing flesh. I'm anointing you because there's an office, there's a place, there's a purpose for your life. Come on. Just like when you put on your clothes, if you work for, you change clothes. Why? You got a purpose. You identify. So that clothes represents your purpose. Now, let's see where we want to start. I think we need to start with, you know, what a donkey. Because some people would say, well, wait a minute. Why didn't Jesus come in on a horse? I mean, he could have. Well, and why did he go untie them himself? We're going to answer all these questions. And so you need to understand all this is symbolic. There's a metaphor here that once you see it, this is a picture of the church and what God is doing. And what God is saying, it's a relative message. He said, go, and you're going to find this donkey. And I want you to bring the mama donkey, and I want you to bring the baby colt. And when they're tied up, untie them. And if any man asks you, why are you untie, just tell them the Lord had need of them, and he will loose them. Okay? So we see here that there's a donkey, and there's a, so what? Why didn't he come in on a horse and instead he used a low ass, a donkey that represents humility? Let's put up this graphic and we'll begin to, because I want you to understand something before I go to preaching. You need to understand what's going on here. All this is symbolic. A donkey represents humility. Huh? Notice he said, your king cometh lowly. In other words, God will use anyone that's humble enough to receive him. You know why people reject Jesus? Pride. I don't need the Lord. I got money. I don't need the Lord. I can do this on my own. You got to humble yourself to receive help. Do I have any witnesses here? Anybody want to? God can't help a proud person. Oh, I can save these children myself. I can get my money myself. I can come out of debt. No, you need the Lord. And so he said, your king, he could have came, even though he was a king, he could have came on a horse, but he come with humility, and he came as a servant. Notice a donkey also represents, it's a beast of burden. Most of the time you see, bro, they got something tied to the donkey. It's kind of like a camel. It's bird carrier. Jesus came to bear our burdens. Come unto me, all ye that say. Even though he was king, he's coming in the triumphant entry. And he's coming, say, you got to be humble. You got to be meek. You know, because everyone thought that he was going to come and restore unto them the kingdom of Israel. In other words, he was going to come and destroy Rome and Caesar. And said, no, his kingdom, he said, my kingdom is not of this world. So he came humble. He came as humility. He came to bear our burdens. He came, come unto me, all ye that's heavy laden. And I'll give you rest. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. So that's what he came. He's coming as a king. But he's not coming in with royalty and all that. Now, that's why he didn't come on a horse. A horse represents power and majesty. A horse is a majestic animal. It's the beast of war. When you see wars, you see the great horses coming in, the style, the closet. You done saw. Even when you men watch 300 and all them Spartacus and all that, and then them horses and the knights, and it's a beast of war. But he didn't. He's called the Prince of Peace. He wasn't coming to bring war. He wasn't coming to as a king to restore. He was coming to serve. He was coming to bear our burdens. He was coming with humility. See, a beast of war. So let me show you a scripture on each one and look at Revelation to back up what I'm saying. 21 about the beast of burden. 21:5. Matthew 21:5. Saying to the daughters of Zion, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, behold, your king. He's a king, but he's not coming on horse. He comes to you lowly. See, that's why a lot of people can't receive. I had to humble myself. I had to realize I need the Lord. See, not only did the Lord, no, we need the Lord, but the Lord has need of us. I know I did. After drugs, alcohol, and in the 70s, I tried everything, and I was, you know, suicidal and sleeping on the streets and under bridges. It hit me. I need the, but God needed me. I just didn't know it. And so it took humility to say, I'm going back home. I ain't sleeping under this bridge. I ain't running with these clowns no more. They're going to stay on drugs forever. I got to change. You can't wait on other people to change. You got to humble yourself. Admit, I need help, praise God. Hallelujah. I don't care who you are. God wants to use you. Your king is coming, you lowly, and riding on a donkey and on a colt. And the fall of the donkey, watch this, is a beast of burden. See what I'm saying? So you understand the metaphor? Because we headed somewhere. How many understand what I'm teaching you? All right, let's go to the horse. Why? He didn't come on horse. I just said because it represents war. He wasn't coming to show war. He wasn't coming to be a king. Oh, they would have, oh, he. No, 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 no. That's not how he came. That don't mean, that's how he's going to come in the book of Revelation when he restored the kingdom. See, that's what. And he was clothed with vesture, dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God, Jesus. Watch this. And the armies, see, was with him, followed him on what? White horses were fine linen. Horses represent a beast of war. When he comes to restore the kingdom, the Bible says the Lord shall come with 10,000 of his saints, and it's going to be a millennial reign. He's going to put Satan in his. The Bible says the angels are going to come, and they're going to take that old dragon and bound him in 1,000 years. But that's a different time frame. How many understand what I'm saying now? Why Jesus came. And so he said, if any man loose this donkey and this colt, when you loose them, they ask of thee. This is so prophetic. Just think, if Jesus would have left and wouldn't have given apostles, prophets, and had a body. He needs us. We're the church. You're the church. And the church ain't perfect. He needs you just like you are with all of our issues. Even those that are not saved, that he needs. He already had a purpose. You just found out your purpose. The God needs people you don't think you even need. Folks, you kick into the curb. God said, I'll take that piece of clay. I'll use it because I chose it. You didn't choose me. I chose you. And I remind God of that sometimes when the stuff going getting rough and it gets crazy. And I'm like, I can't tell you. I say, now, I didn't call me. I said, I know I did. There's a purpose. And the fact that I call you, know that I know you got what it takes. How many of you ever got to the point like the Apostle Paul where you feel like you couldn't handle what was going on in your life, your marriage, your home, your finance, on the job? You're being pushed beyond measure. Now, if anyone's just honest, like, look, I can't take this. But you know what? God knows how much you can take. You know, sometimes when they take super glue and all this super glue, why do they advertise it can hold up to 50 pounds or 70 pounds? It's been tested. They'll take that stuff and they test it. And they say, oh, my God, this glue can hold up to 75 pounds. And they test it and test it. And so what happened, God has tested you. And what you think you can't deal with this, God knows now you can hold 75. You just said 25. You don't know the limit. You're stronger than you think you are. Are you listening to me? God knows our limits. And it's always more than what you think because he has need of you. Because sometimes I'm like, God, I can't take. God said, oh, yes, you can. I wouldn't have called you if you couldn't take it. You wouldn't have been born in this generation if you couldn't deal with what you're going through on your job, in your marriage, on your home, with your finances. You see, I've got to preach this again. It's called pressure points. There are pressure points. The Bible says Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. So there's no type of pressure in your bills, in your marriage, with your job, with your haters, divorce, that you can be gone, no sickness, no disease, no lack, that Jesus haven't already been tested himself and said, you know what? I know your pressure points. I knew you before you was formed in the womb, and you can take it because he had need of me. Oh, God, I can't wait to just, oh, Lord, have mercy. And you. Listen to this statement. Jesus wants to ride and use anybody that's humble enough to receive him. Yeah, but I went through divorce. Yeah, I had an abortion. Yeah, I did all that. I don't care what you've done, past, present, or future. There wasn't no perfect person. You just got to be humble enough to receive him. You know, Jesus said, I want a new ride. I want a donkey ain't nobody set on. Now, before I get too deep into that, he'll take a used car just like you would. If someone gave you a brand new car, certified wet bread, would you take it? But if you can get a new ride, come on, you know how we are. Everybody want a new ride. Some of us had Jesus a while. I want to talk to two group of people. Those who think God can't use you and those who done forgot that and taking him for granted in your life, because when you get a new ride, everybody excited. I mean, you get a new ride, you come up to church. You know, usually you don't even come all the way under the thing. You just park, but this Sunday you're gonna drive out front, let off somebody. You kind of give it a little, you know, cause you want it right here. Hey, get up. Hey! Now, when you had that old dog car, you pop, it popped around in the back. But now you got a new ride. And you want, oh, girl, when you get that? Oh, girl. Huh? And you wash it 3 times a week, keep it all up for the 2 or 3 weeks. But after about 2 or 3 months, man, mud splash on that thing. Hey, man, shoot. Hey, man, you know, come on. You vacuuming out on, man, and you'll be all right. What's that? You start taking it for granted. And what God is saying, yeah, oh, yeah, I want a new ride, but those of you that I'm already using, quit taking me for granted. Holly, you, I still have need of you. You know what I'm saying? Come on. Because what you take for granted, you will eventually lose. Huh? Jesus said, I'll ride, I'll use anybody that's humble enough to receive me. James 4, that's why he came on a donkey. He was just a metaphor. You got to humble yourself. He said, the Lord, and I need that donkey. I could come on a horse, and in my majesty, I will be king of kings in the book of Revelation, but I didn't come for that. I need a church. I need anyone that's humble enough. I need the brokenhearted, the bruised, the rejected, those that the world have canceled and said, you've gone too far. I need a Ronald Diggs, someone that's out of his mind. Come on, you can throw your name in there. Don't be looking at me like I'm the only one crazy. Y'all, some of y'all, come on, you was jacked up too, just like me, in your own way. Don't be looking at me like that. See, you need to humble yourself. There you go. God can't use you because your nose in the air. But he gives more grace, power of the Holy Spirit to meet those evil tendencies in our life and all others fully. That's why he said God set himself against the proud. See, a proud man say, oh, I don't need to mind. I can get out of debt myself. I can handle this myself. I can deal with these kids myself. I can deliver myself. The haughty, but he gives grace continually to who? The lowly. Those that are humble enough to receive it. And one day, I had to humble myself. And I heard the voice of God say, I have need of you. You weren't designed to be under this bridge. You are here on drugs and alcohol, land on tombstone. I have need of you. And he said, and I had to humble myself. And when I humbled myself to receive him, grace came on me. Unmerited favor. God says, I've been looking beyond your faults anyhow. And there are people we won't have nothing to do with that God wants to use. You'll see that, praise God. And let me just take my time here. So first thing is humility. It takes humility. Some of you, now that you got your job, your business, your degree, well, you think you don't need the Lord. Now that you're in a gated community, got the house, you think you don't need the Lord. Huh? And God said, well, you know, I can't really use you because you're taking me for granted. And there are other people I want to use. I want to ride a new ride. Now, wow. Can I tell you something here? Jesus, put this up, did not say, I want them. Did he? He said, tell them. He didn't say, tell them the Lord want them. What did he say? Tell them the Lord has need of them. Huh? A transportation vehicle. I'll use anybody. I'll use anyone. And you think, well, but I made this mistake. And I done that. I went through divorce. There, I'm talking to you that ain't even saved. Come on, I'm going to tell you something right now. He said, I want the ass and the colt. I want the young and the old. I'm about to ride on folks. Y'all won't have nothing to do. I need somebody. I don't care if you're brokenhearted, bruised. I don't care if your life jacked up. You may not even say the Lord had. That's before you get saved. Because the purpose don't start. That's when the purpose, you find out your purpose. God already got a plan for your life. God already had this plan for me. And he said, boy, you're so talented, but you're in the wrong place with the wrong people doing the wrong thing. I need a transportation vehicle. I want to ride you. Hallelujah. And see, I was looking at the drug, the alcohol, how illicit I was, all stuff I did, demons in my life, all of this. I wasn't looking at the fact that what God don't see like we see. He may we look on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And there's some folks here this morning that think you've been disqualified. Lord, you know what? I'm going to go on down this right now, and I'm going to hit you again and again. I'm going to go ahead and you realize, because I know you're thinking, but I did this, and I did this. God says, I still want to use you. I just want the vehicle. Huh? The vehicle may be different, but the passenger's always the same. Jesus. Black, white, Baptist, Methodist, all this, drug addict. I don't care about it. I just need somebody. Oh, Lord, I love this. I can't hold back on that. I'm going to do it twice. Because if you hear this morning, you say, God can't use me. I've gone too far. I've been too mad. I want you to check this out. Moses. Moses was a stutterer and a murderer. He said, I need him. Why? But you know, how can... Noah got drunk. Ain't talking about just kind of... He got pissy, sloppy, drunk, delirious. Got naked. Went into this orgy thing. Come on. Don't look at me like that with your I see. You got to humble yourself. But God used him. He said, I have need of thee. Gideon had low self-esteem. Thomas was a doubter. Qualify yourself. Martha was a worrier. Peter had a bad temper. Elijah was suicidal and had bipolar tendencies. One day, 450 prophets of Baal. Next day, I want to die. How bipolar can you get? But God says, I have need of thee. See, I want to bring you in. Because God ain't calling for perfect people this morning. Are you listening to me? David was an adulterer and a murderer. Huh? Jacob was a cheater and a swindler. Huh? Are you ready for this? Rahab was a prostitute. See, you folks, you wouldn't have, but God needs people and see stuff you can't see. And God is calling you back and said, I want to ride someone. And I'm going to put a new coat on you. I'm going to put a new anointing. I'm not elevating the donkey. I'm going to put a new purpose on your life. There's a robe of right. There's a fresh anointing that folks has been brokenhearted, bruised, that think you've gone too far. This morning, I'm calling to you. I'm choosing you with all of your hang-ups, all of your sins, all of your putrid ways, all of your immorality. I'm not calling perfectly. I just need a vessel. Give me a vessel, and I'll ride them. I need someone that's humble enough to say, God, I need you. I need you in the morning. I need you at noontime. I need you at night. I'm just a branch. You're the vine. Without you, I can't breathe. Without you, I can't work. That car there, you gave it to me. That house, I need someone to humble themselves. Look at your name and say, the Lord has need of you. See, the devil been telling you you're washed up with all your sin. But I just went through biblical character that's in the hall of faith. And God used them. We're going to go back down that road. You say, Jesus? Yeah. Yeah. I want to use you. I need a transportation vehicle. I need someone to go to the hospital. I need someone to stand in the pulpit. I need someone. Wherever you are in life, that's why God will use you in your degree. Go to school. Get your degree. Because I want a platform in the doctors. I want a platform with the nurse. I want a platform in Congress. Whatever your aspiration is, I need you. I want to speak to people on every level of life, but I need a vessel. You are my body. I mean, you're getting it now. But you got to humble yourself. That's why I'm coming on a donkey, showing that I can use. And listen, back in Numbers 20, you remember when Balaam got hard-headed and he was going to try to go and curse God's people, and the donkey was trying to stop him? And he started hitting the donkey, and donkey saw that angel with that sword. And the donkey said, hey, the donkey started talking. Listen, if a donkey can talk, there's hope for me. If God can use a jackass, that should encourage you. God don't want to speak to a jackass. He want to use you. But if that's the only thing that'll listen, I need somebody. Look at this amazing scripture. Let me break it down. 1 Corinthians 12:21. The eye, he's talking about the body of Christ, can't say to the hand. How many of you need your eyes? Use your sight. Put your hand up. I got a hand. I don't need no eye. Yes, you do. You almost hit someone in the parking lot this morning. You need your eye with your glasses. I can't say to the hand, watch this, I have no need of thee, nor can the head, who's the head of the church? Say to the feet is on the body, that's you and I have no need of thee. Wow. The head, Jesus. Yes, he does. He needs this body. And he says, I need someone that's humble enough to receive. That's why I'm not going to come. As a king, I'm going to come lowly as a servant to bear your burden. And I need someone, a vessel, someone that will yield themselves. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. But you know what the problem is? We've been tied up. And God says, I'm going to loose some people this morning. Tied up with drugs, alcohol. Young people tied up with TikTok. Digital distractions. And I need them. I got a plan for their life. Tied up with Instagram. Some of you tied up with drugs, alcohol. Great. Some of you tied up with offense. Got offended. I ain't going back. And see, the devil don't care. He just want to get you out of service. Huh? Are you listening to me? Tied up with hatred. Tied up with division in politics. That's all. Look. Who you are, right, left. Tied up with racism. Magnifying differences, color of skin, and all that stuff. And all the time the Lord said, I need someone that'll put all that stuff down. Tied up. The devils had made a play on the minds of both the old people and the young people all at the same time. What you think Alzheimer's and dementia is? To destroy you early. He wants your mind, because if he can control your mind, he can control you. And the young people, he's using bipolar tendencies. He's using all types of identity crisis. I don't know if I'm this, that, all this sexual stuff. All of this stuff coming across your phone, digital distraction, stuff popping up, TikTok, anything. And we become distracted. We've been tied up by different things. Distracted. God has come to loose us this morning from whatever then separate you from your real purpose. He said, get the coat, because I want to do something with the young people, all their gifts and talent. If y'all think I'm giving props, I am. Because I didn't ask my son to do what he did. But that young boy, I didn't realize. That boy stepped into the ministry, started doing stuff, and he took so much burden on me. The gifts and talent. These young people got gifts and talent, and they're using it all this stuff. God says, I have need of you. So he's trying to destroy the old people mind and the young people mind at the same time. But we're going to untie some folks, some stuff this morning. We're going to loose. He said, you go. Why didn't Jesus go loose them? Why didn't he send the disciples? Because you and I got the power to bind and loose. Loose yourself. Awake from your drunken stupor. What is going on? He's got the church distracted. with issues and division. Jesus is saying, I need you. But I need you untied. I can't use you when you're all bound up. Sin and drugs and fear and alcohol. Division, hatred, racism, and TikTok and Instagram. Just caught up, bound. Man, go look at it. We are digitally distracted. I'm telling you, it's an addiction. Go whatever restaurant you go to. Watch here, brother. Ain't nobody going to be talking no more. Your kids don't talk to you. That thumb's probably all the skin going to come off of it. On the planes, on the train, everywhere you go, restaurants here, there, outside the building, this and that. That. And God is saying, I've chosen you. He said, I know about all your issues. I knew that before I chose you. And I chose you anyhow. Thank God for grace. Because a lot of people who I grew up with would never dream that Pastor Diaz would be up in a pulpit, anointed, breaking down. I was the least likely to be doing this. I mean, I was so far out, drugs, Quaaludes, alcohol, pills at the party. And I mean, you knew when I got there because I was going to be doing 100 miles an hour and hit my brakes. I wanted, headed for Washington Terrace Park. They said, oh my God, Diaz coming. He said, they was on the dance floor. So he going to run into the building. Everybody, and I got that close. And stopped. Jumped out. Got on top of the car. Pulled some leaves off of a limb and went. They said, he's gone. But God said, he's chosen the foolish things of this world to good God Almighty. I don't know who I'm talking to, but it's time for you to surrender, humble yourself, and say it's time for me to come into my true prayer. I've been distracted by digital distractions, by TikTok, by drugs, by alcohol, by addiction, by porn, by whatever. The devil use anything to call you and get you tied up. You know, strength to anyone tied up. Long as Samson was loose, he was feared, he was powerful, he had the anointing until he got distracted. And Delilah is more than a woman. And when he got distracted, it tied him up. But I come here this morning, hallelujah, to those of you that are willing to come to this altar, say, not no more. I'm tired of struggling. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about, what your struggle been. He said, go on time, because I need him. And Jesus is saying that a lot of people ain't even born again. I need them. I need those drugs. I need those young people. Hallelujah. I need them in the colleges, in the universities, high schools, junior high schools. It's all tied up, caught up with all these digital distractions. Caught up and trying to, you know, all this peer pressure and trying to be like this and be like that. I need them. And I'm about to loose them and I'm going to put a new robe on them. Notice he didn't sit on the donkey. He said, I'm going to put a new coat. I'm going to put a new purpose. See, when your clothes change, your purpose change. Hallelujah. I mean, I was on drugs, alcohol, doing all of that stuff. I had one pants, a reefer hole. But when I got saved, born again, I want you to know God put a robe of righteousness on me. He said, go get the fat. Put the robe. That's my son. I'm going to show y'all. I'm going to begin to magnify you. Because all it took was humility. God will use anybody. He didn't say, I want them. He said, I need them. The truth is, the devil needs you too. He can't do nothing without a body. Bible says, when the unclean spirit is going forth out of the man, he go forth seeking a rest, a place of rest, and a dry place, a place void of water, the word. No word. Getting away from past this. He preached too much word. Get him mad, get him fed up. That word, that'd be water. And he finds none. Watch this. He's got the mitigated gall to say, I will turn to my house. But this time I'm going to take seven more spirits, more wicked. Huh? Come on. Satan can't do nothing. So he pushes and primes and tempts and forces. But God says, your will is involved. I'm giving you an invitation this morning. I have need of you. I need you on your job. You think you have no value. You're ready to quit and give up. There are people have been watching your life. In that barbershop, in that hairdo, in your office or wherever, white collar, blue collar. And you and they're praying to God, you don't quit because I have need of you. Your wit, your life is speaking. I have need of you. And when you compare the mess that we sometimes quit over and give up over and get offended, compare with the need that God, there's no comparison. Are you listening to me this morning? Listen to this. The vehicle may be different, but the passenger is always the same. He ain't you no Baptist. He can't. He ain't got nothing to do with Baptist, man. He's going to part the spirit, put on flesh. Oh, she's Hispanic. Oh, he's black. She's white. They're Korean. They're Japanese. No, that's just the vessel. I just need a body. I ain't looking like you. I don't look after the flesh. Huh? I don't judge a man's character by his flesh or a woman's character. When I saw Pastor Dez, all I saw was a guy that was hungry, that would get in the Word, that would give me 120% study time, and would say whatever I say. I need that boy. Huh? He needs you too. Different vessel, but the passenger is the same. His name is Jesus. Hebrews 10. Verse 4 and 5. For it is impossible. See, it came to a place where they were doing bulls and goats. You remember that in the Old Testament under the Leviticus priesthood? But what happened? It couldn't remit to do away with it. Only what? Covered it. Because every year there was a remembrance. So, he says, it's not possible for the blood of bulls and goats that they should take away remits here. So Jesus said, I'll come. Wherefore he... When he cometh into the world, see, huh? Who, Jesus? He came through Mary the first time. He needed a body. He still needs one. He said, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? As God has said, I'm going to walk in you now. I ain't use no bulls and goats. I want a body. I need some body. I don't care if they're black, white, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Turin, Catholic. I don't care if they're live streaming at home. I'm talking to you live streaming. Some of you been out of church. You got your bachelor during the pandemic. You got in the sin. God said, I still need you. Don't let someone disqualify you. Don't let someone cancel you. I still need you. Peter, I know about all your mistakes before you. Go tell my disciples and Peter. I'm talking as I know in the spirit. Not only here, there's somebody. You've been thinking, oh, my God, I messed them. Them Christians, I heard about Christians, so-called Christians. God says, I still need you. I still want to use you. I don't care who kicked you to the curb because you got pregnant, because you went in and got caught in fair, because that's men. He said, prepare me a body. Huh? Different. Come on. Vehicles, Ford, Chevy, Mercedes-Benz, BMW, Volvo, Honda. But the passenger, I ain't care about the vehicle. You can drive, but I ride in whatever you get. But I need somebody. Tell them the Lord has me. As long as I can ride. Oh, my God, my God. Anybody getting anything out of it? I'm taking my time because I don't want to preach. I want to teach it. It can be preached. So Jesus did not untie the coat himself, did he? Why didn't he go and tie the coat? Why he send the disciples? Huh? He didn't. Why? There's the answer in the question. Because we have the power to loose untie. Never cut what you have the power to lose. Never. He says, I ain't got to do it. I'm just going to cut now. No, he just go untie. So never cut what you had a pile of loose. How many of you have some tennis shoes? Nikes. Under Armour. Reeboks. I mean, if any of those you type of tennis, okay, Puma then. Put your hand up. You wear something. Everybody got tennis shoes. Now, wouldn't it be something if every time you put on a pair of tennis shoes, instead of just loosening it, take them loose, you won't cut them. And you just go get a thing, just cut them out. Every time, put a new pair on. No, you have the power to lose. That's why he needs you. I'm headed somewhere. Matthew 16:19. You got the key to your own deliverance. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. That's why he said you got the key. Go and you can get drug out. You can get folks free. You can get folks to have one. You got the key. You go untie them. Of heaven and of earth. And whatsoever you bind on earth shall be what? Bound in heaven. Who's got to do the binding? We do. Who's got to do the loosing? Huh? Whatever you loose on earth shall be. God won't loose some people this morning from some stuff that you know has got you tied up, some relationships. Somebody you know ain't no good for you. Always coming with them old dry lines. You know they distracted you. Don't want to have come to church. Baby, shoot, you look so good. Shoot, if you was a biscuit, I'd sup you up with some gravy. All that stupid stuff. And you know, like, please, but you keep messing with it. You're like Samson. You keep just playing. You need to untie yourself. You need to let life go. Y'all getting quiet in here, man. You didn't leave them drugs, alcohol, that co-worker. There are some phone numbers you need to get rid of.
Come on. Amen.
Ooh. Ooh. That man in my bedroom. Now that's the Holy Ghost. God says, I have need of you. You got to come to the place where you're worth in the kingdom. And people's deliverance is more important than a bunch of junk on the side. Watch this, because I'm headed somewhere. So we need to go help. We're going to have a loosening service this morning. We're going to untie some folks. That's humble enough. Now, you can sit back there. Well, not me. I praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I ain't messing up my skin. Shoot, my dress. You took me my hair. It took all week to get it in. And if I do. See, there you go. You know, that was a time when people wanted real delivery. You just had snot. Folks who want to be free don't care. They when you get desperate, you don't care about your hair, your knees, your stocking. They might get a run in them, but they already tore up. Well, let me leave that. Let me deny messing with folks. All right, let me don't get outside. Because, see, you're looking for something to get offended at. But the Holy Ghost, he says, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be where? So who did he tell to go loose them? Untie. You go. But before you can untie somebody else, be free. In the name of Jesus, come out. Wait, what's that all got you? I'm headed somewhere. Look at my next scripture. Or did I have a next scripture? Hold on. Let me see where it's coming. I did. Awake! Church, O Zion, awake twice. Put on your strength. You're stronger than you think. O Zion, O church, put on the beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for henceforth no more uncircumcised stuff that had nothing to do with covenant. Unclean thing is going to come in your life. Look at the next verse. Shake yourself. Arise. Sit upright. And loose yourself. What's got you tied up? TikTok? What person? What phone number? What drug? What show on television? What person you love more than Jesus? What relationship? What bondage? What television show? What type of drink? What type of drug? What type of alcohol? God is saying, loose yourself. I need you. And I can't use you all tied up. You need to shake. Everybody do like that. Shake it off. Shake off that offense. You sitting up mad. Shake off that hurt and that depression because you went through divorce and it didn't happen, so died in your life. Shake off that sorrow. Shake off that grief. Whatever got you tied up, whatever got you bound up, shake it off. Loose yourself. Oh, Zion, awake. People are dying all around you. Drive-by shootings, mass shootings. Young people bound by digital distraction. Folks that think they've been disqualified. Immoral drugs and alcohol and all of this stuff. And the church is at political division and hatred and racism. And all this stuff is all around. And God is saying, I need somebody to shake off all of this. Because I need you. More than your job needs you. More than your wife or husband needs you. Your boyfriend or girlfriend. I have need of thee. But you need to untie. Get the yoke off of you in that old captive. Daughter Zion. It's got you bound. I know I'm preaching to people streaming and live right here. Just one more time syndrome. This is going to be the last joint. Going to be the last time I drink. Last time I go see her. Last time I see him. Last time I do it. I'm on the last cigarette. All these are last. And all you do is sow to the flesh, and it makes the flesh want it more. Set you up for the next time. Reminding you the next time. The last time. I'm talking to somebody, and you don't have to be ashamed. Because the good news, God says, I want you. I need you to help other people, but I want you to get free. Get free from the fence, the secret anger you've been holding against whoever, a deacon, an elder, a member, a pastor, even maybe me. Well, he said this to me. Well, you might well leave because my anointing can't flow to you because you're offended. Then what's on my life can't help you. You can't receive for someone you're mad at. You got to shake yourself. There's been people. You could be suffering because you're in the wrong ship. The folks that was on the ship with Noah ain't done nothing. They were sinners, but they ain't do nothing. You could be suffering because of who's on your boat. You hooked up to someone in disobedience and affecting you. Someone is supposed to be down at Joppa, and they are Nineveh, and they're at Joppa. But you want to run with them. That disobedience could get you killed. Because God started rocking that old ship with everybody on it. And it wasn't the sinners, it was the church boy that was the problem. Them sinners started praying. The church boy was trying to hide. They went to praying. I don't know nothing about God. They cast lot. Lot, who is this? And the lot fell on old Jonah. They said, boy, you got to go. So the sinners took the church, the preacher, and threw him overboard, saying, you ain't going to go there. I ain't going down because of you. You could be suffering because of your connection to be not deceived, corrupt. Evil can corrupt good manners. And you're going to have to shake yourself for somebody you think is your friend. Why? Because God says, I want to use you. I want to put a new coat on you. I want to put a new anointing. See, some of you think your power is going to be out here. One day I'm going to be. No. Your greatest power is behind you. Think about it. The abuse, the hurt, the pain, all the stuff that you thought was going to destroy you when you thought you were going to lose your mind. But here you are sitting here saying, listen to me. It took power to overcome. You are not what you did. You are what you overcame. Your greatest power, you need to go back and reflect on what you already done. My God, I remember when the whole church just said, this boy is crazy. And I walked up from this big Baptist church and I was so hurt and pain, and I thought I couldn't make it, but I made it through. All those things from the past is what has made you. And all the hurt, the pain, the abuse, that person in your family that misused you, that hidden abuse. Yes, I'm talking about incest, whether it was incest or whatever. Sexually abused, emotionally abused. And you thought no one knew. And here you are, still here. Your greatest power is behind you. And if you had enough power to survive up until now, devil, get out of my way. I'm shaking myself. I'm loosening myself. That's why I said, awake, awake. Why? I need you. What's ahead of you is greater than where you come from. Don't get caught up in trauma, past trauma, huh? The man was cutting himself into tombs. Tombs represents memory or trauma. He wasn't bound by chains, he was bound by memory. And some of you trying to get over the trauma, what happened to you as a child? And God says, but you made it. Huh? Here you are, listen to Pastor Diggs. And all you got to do is take that same power, and shake yourself. Oh, God, help me. I'm talking to you live streaming at home, too. This is a prophetic message. This is a call to Jesus, to the young and old. I want the coat and the ass. I want the old people young. I'm going to pour out my spirit on your sons and daughters. They're going to prophesy. I'm going to break this digital distraction over this generation and call men and women, these talented men and women with these gifts and ideas. And it's going to take the wisdom of the old and the strength of the young. And together, bring them both to me because I need them. I'm speaking spirit to spirit to some people. It's like you at crossroad. And I'm telling you, the power to come on this side is already there. Don't straddle the fence. Choose ye this day. Your deliverance is in your, the keys are in you. He said, loose yourself. I can pray, lay hands on you. But if you ain't made a real decision, nothing's going to happen. Till you get sick and tired of getting sick and tired and say, God got something for my life, and I'm tired of these distractors, these leeches that's been holding me back. I ain't wasting not another minute, not near another, and that ain't no word, but I'm making it up, not near another minute. Not near a minute. You know, old people made up words. They put phrases together. Go down there and tell mama them. See, mama them is a word. Mama them. I don't know how you spell it, but it's a word. Am I preaching to anyone here this morning? He had the power. Look at St. John. Let me just talk about I've chosen you just a little bit. I'm through. Now, I went down that list to let you know before you start trying to disqualify you. So look at all those people in the Bible. Had big time issues. God used them. Can't no one disqualify you? Huh? Can't no one counsel you? If people want to counsel me, say, oh, that did. It don't matter what you think about me. God wanted me. God needed me. God has me. I'm in the body. I'm here to stay. I ain't going nowhere. And when the dust settles, I'm going to still be standing with you. I said, so I don't waste time with it. I ain't got time for that. I know someone don't like, I don't care. How you know them so well? How you get so close to them? Why are you so comfortable around people that can hate me that much? What were you doing? What were you saying? I got news for you. Those that's not with you is against you. And if a dog will bring a bone, he'll carry it. So same people, let me tell you what they, no, you, what you said. That's what I want to know. Don't bring me no bone. Time is winding up, people, not down. It's winding up. Let me look at a couple of scriptures, St. John, because I know y'all said, well, you subtopic. We get the part the Lord had needed thee, but then what about this chosen stuff? Well, okay, I'm glad you brought that up. Look at St. John 15. I'm almost done. All it takes is one verse of scripture. And that's what so that lets me know God had to see something in me. I didn't see him myself. Because see, our own liabilities, weaknesses, issues in our life, we disqualify ourselves. Man, I keep doing the same stupid stuff. I keep making it. God says, I knew that before you. I called you. Let's all read verse chapter 15, verse 16 together. Ready, read. You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it. Just hold it there. I want that to, God says, you didn't choose me. Someone said, I found the Lord. He wasn't lost. You were. You can't find the Lord. Like Jesus out there in the wilderness said, oh, hey, Jesus, come on, this is the way. Now, he found you. He chose you. God will let you know there's some value in you. I don't care how much trauma, pain, hurt, mistakes. He chose you. He chose me. You're a chosen vessel. He chose you before the foundation of the world. It wasn't before you got saved, before you got it together, because you ain't going to never get it together. Sometimes I really believe, to a degree, and I want you to balance this out. God allows and leave weaknesses in our life so that it'll always make us keep moving toward him. Now, the closest thing I can come to that is the Apostle Paul when he said, your weaknesses and your weaknesses, I'm strength. That's why he recognized his strength. It's like, I can't do this without God. And I really believe that. So who was it that, who was the deceiver? Jacob. When he got tired, see, God is waiting on you to wrestle with the angel. He was a deceiver. The name Jacob means deceiver, swindler, cheat, all that. But yet, he's in the lineage of Abraham. God said, I'm going to use a cheater, a swindler, a liar. You see what I'm saying? I still need him with this weakness, with this character flaws. And finally, he got tired one day of looking over his shoulder. Is Esau going to kill me? Huh? Is my father-in-law going to get me? Because he was always, you know, anytime you do people, folks wrong, you know you done wrong. You always, that folk, hey, they sleep with a gun and... Because they know they got so many folks, because they done sold so many bad things. He said, I'm tired of living like this. The Bible says he grabbed hold of the angel. It was a time since he'd gone up, and he says, hey, he wouldn't let him go. Now, how many of your angels is a supernatural being? When you can withhold an angel who excel it, my God, you're determined. He used every fiber of it to threw his leg out of joint. He said, let me go. For the day is about to break. He said, I won't let you go until you bless me. Change me. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of living like this. I've been smiling, but inside I'm crying. I've been looking good in front of the church, but I'm tired of this struggle in my life. God, you got to do something, and you got to do it today. He said, what is your name? Jacob, trickster, swindler, subplanner. He said, your name will no longer be called Jacob, but your name from this day will be called Israel, for you're a prince with power. And that day his life changed. But he still had a limp, a weak. And I think sometimes God, I ain't saying you got a limp. That ain't the point. The point is, if we didn't have nothing to overcome ever, temper this and that, we probably wouldn't even see God. I taught this back then. Get the balance of what I'm saying. So if you're just waiting for the day that you're going to be strong in every area of your life, that'll probably never happen. But God will give you the grace. Come on to church. Come on. Come on with your lip. Come on with your flaw. Come on. That's what church is for. God says, I still need you. I know you got a temper. I know you've been through divorce. I know you cussed out somebody. I still need you. Peter. Don't look at me. I'm talking about Peter with the cussing. And Jesus cussed him out. Surely you're one of them. I don't know the man. A Christian. There's some cussing Christians. Sitting here today. You don't believe him? Poke him in the wrong spot. The book of cuss will come back up. ain't dead, it's still buried. They'll dig it up. But God still needs you. That's the good news. We've been thinking, if I get all it together. He said, you didn't choose me. I'm glad you're smiling up there, because that's the good news. Man, God knew I was something. Yeah, he knew you were a trip. But he said, I still need you. Put that statement up again. Put it up again. I got to close. Put the same one I just put up. No. The same one I just about. Is that, yeah. Jesus did not. No. Okay. Well, you're right then. Is that the first one then? Okay. All right. Go ahead and put it up then. Is that the next one? God so valued you, you couldn't see yourself. Okay. So, you know what that means? That means that as crazy as I was, everybody down at the bottom of the pocket, everyone in the era, and there's Denise, and there's one of my classmates, what we call Cookie, and some, I'm glad you came today. This is a good day. That's why she's going, oh, yeah, he was some Denise's, and that's why some of the people knew me. Oh, God, Lord Jesus, y'all just don't know. Yeah, I was a terror. But God says, I want that boy. Not when I got perfect, not that I'm teaching. You know, now that I got a good wife, good family, God said, no, I know you, nobody didn't want your crazy self. Come on, that's the good news. I wanted you. Nobody, yeah, that boy shoot, did. You talking about the guy who had the hand grenade and wanted to blow up the YMCA? Yeah. Isn't that funny? Y'all remember I had a hand grenade, we're going to blow up the YMCA, and later on God called me to preach in the Y. God, the devil tried to get me to blow up the place I was going to be called to preach. I'm ready. I'll put it. Don't y'all be looking at me like I'm you. You know you got y'all be freaking too. Behind door, you be freaking. You know you get your freak on, all of you. So don't be looking at me like that. God saw you. The value in you. And that's a good thing. That's a positive. I'm glad y'all, because it's a good message. Man, what type of love is this? When I couldn't see what was in myself, why did he stop me on the road of Damascus? 1 Samuel will tell you why. 16:7. He didn't look on the outer prayer like your mom and brother, everybody else. Well, I saw your failures. The Lord said the same. Look not on his outward appearance, his height or his stature. I've rejected him, for I don't see like man see. For the Lord look on, they all look on the outward appearance of mistakes, all that boy, how crazy he was at the park. But I look on his heart. Give me, that boy got a heart for me. So that's the first step. All right, number two, it's another scripture I want you to see. And that is 49:1. Isaiah, and I hope y'all, please write these things down, go home and study. These are things the Holy Ghost gave me. I'll be up at night putting this stuff down. The least you can do is jot down the scripture. Listen, O owl, unto me. Hearken, you people, from afar. The Lord has called me. God was calling me from the womb. Not only did he wait till I got crazy, he said, I know what George and Clara did is going to put. That's going to be the baby boy. Now, he's going to be different. He's going to make Clara stop. And I did. I was the baby. But he said, I was something. Clara like, oh, I got to stop. What is this in my womb? So I was something from the womb. But God called me. God said, I got my hand on him. Umbilical cord, I came out. I came out feet first instead of head first. Umbilical cord wrapped, it almost killed me and mama. And somehow the Spirit of God turned me around. And that thing could, and God let me live because he had his hand on me. He said, I called him from the womb, and from the bowels of his mother hath I made mention. I've been talking about this boy for a long time. Huh? See, people started talking about you when you were first born. They came to the hospital and said, Lord, he ain't got no head like a daddy. Look like so-and-so child. But God said, I've been talking about you a long time. Come on, you know some people don't be coming to see me. Because they heard there was somebody going in the back door anyhow. He got a head like this. But anyway, God started talking about you a long time ago. You. Now, that's something that means death. Are you listening to me? I mean you and you and you. Every last one of us. People were talking negative, and God says, y'all don't see what I see. This boy will be magnificent. A teacher of the gospel. a preacher, an expounder that can draw people in to give them understanding. Why? He has need of you, not just me. You got a part. Now, let's close. So the Lord knew exactly what he was getting. Don't you wish you could see like him? Because some of the folks that you thought was so dead, you would have died, killed, and you married, and they dog you out. And folks that you thought was, ooh, if you could have seen it, said, oh my God. That's why you got to quit judging folks from the outside. Skin color, appearance, and all this, and all that stupid stuff. Let me close with 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. God says, I chose you. I need you, Gloria. I need you, Sister Gru. I need you, Connie. I need you, Deb. Both Debs. Deborah, Deb. I need you. Joyce. I know we, you and your husband, been through a lot of traumas, but I need you. I'm working with your husband right now. I need both of you. I'll call you as a team. I need you, Robert, Emma. I can go on, Trip, I can go on, Betty, Zena, I can call everybody here. Because the devil got a reason in your head to try to cancel you. There's something in your life, something traumatic that has happened. And God said, that don't matter. I need a vessel. And I chose you with all your issues and everything that has happened to you traumatic. I knew it was going to happen, and I knew you could take it because you were tested. You've been pre-tested. I know how much pressure you can take. That's why you're sitting in that seat when you thought you were going to lose your mind. I brought you out. And I'm the same God that brought you out will finish what I started in you. I need you, Greg. I need your wife. I need your daughter. It's not just a shop. It's a place of revelation. It's a platform I'm giving you, speaking to people. We think it's just about, God says, I just need you to be humble enough. I knew the deaths would happen all around you. And I knew the pain it would cause your heart. But I tested you. You can take it. People, as Bob Marley said, good friends we had and good friends we lost. But you can take it. I put them in your life for a season. And I gave you strength to endure without them. My grace is sufficient. There'll be days of weakness, but in your weakness, I'll strengthen you. Because I have need of you. And I can't use you tied up with grief or anything. There are some people calling, he does drug addicts, young people. The people on the internet today that's getting free. I know it. I want you to write me, call me. God told me what this message will be doing. That streaming should be going crazy. Get honest. Give me your testimony. Because this anointing is on me. He's anointing me to set the captives free, to bind up the broken heart. There's an anointing. I'm just a UPS. I'm just a delivery boy. It's God's anointing coming through me. His word's setting you free. His word, he's sending his word and it's healing you of the trauma, of all the past, of the abuse, all everything that happened to you, how you was abused sexually. The healing is coming to you. Your memory, the blood is covering you now. Because God says, I still need you. First Peter. No. Corinthians. And I'm through. Chapter 1, verse 26 to 29. For you see your calling, brother. How that not many wise men after the flesh. Not many. God said, I can use rich, wise people, but not many. That ain't my M.O. But I have chosen the foolish thing. Lord knows I qualified. And so did you with your silly self. I've chosen the foolish things of this world huh? That are despised. God chose, yea, things that are not to bring to naught the things of what? That no flesh should glory in his presence. If you thought it was because of your calling, your advantage, you already had money and this, you'll think you'll glory. I did this, my degree, I'm rich. He said, no, ain't no flesh going to, the glory got to go to me. So I'm going to take someone, the worst cases, and I'm going to change their life. And the world going to know only God could have did that. Because I knew him before. I know him after. Only God could have brought that prayer. That's Jerry. She went, I would have killed myself. The divorce, all the pain, the is everything, the trauma in her childhood. Only God. God says, I need you. Put this up in Amplified as I close. It gets more. I mean, my God, it's whew. For simply consider your own call, brother. Not many of you were considered to be wise according to human standards and, you know, a professor of this and that. And it doesn't matter. I can use that. Not many were influential, powerful. Not many high of noble birth. You didn't have no pedigree. No, but God selected, deliberately chose. No one life is a mistake. Your life is not, I don't care what trauma you went through. I don't care how you was born. I don't care why you were abused. God says, I need you. What the world has called foolish to put the wise to shame. And what the world called weak to put the strong to shame. God selected, deliberately chose what is in the world, lowborn. That's why he came on the donkey, lowborn. Lo, behold your king coming. Insignificant, branded, treated with contempt. Even those things that are nothing, they might dispose and bring to naught those things that are. So that no mortal flesh have pretense for glory and boast in the presence of God. God don't want you, it ain't about flesh. That's why Pastor Diz can't go up here. I'm a powerful teacher. I'm this. Look at me. My God, it I am so humble because I can't. Oh, God took someone like me. My life is messed up. And look, so I'm living a dream. And all I can do is point you to the cross, man. I couldn't have did it without him. I couldn't have made it without him. I couldn't have come this far. That time I would have quit. I would have shot myself. I was everything, all them people you talk about, all in one. In the world, nobody was had a bright forecast for my future. Because they were looking on the outside. Listen to this as I close. So then God was selective and very deliberate when he chose you. He made no mistakes. Very selective. Because some of you think, me? Do you know what I went through? Do you know what happened to me when I was three? Between 3 and 9? Do you know what my father, my uncle did? Between 17? Do you know what happened? Do you know how many abortions I had? Oh, yeah. God knew you were going to have more. You forgiven? He's chosen you, those babies in heaven. And he still want to use you. He still want to use you. He deliberately chose you. God very selective and deliberate when he chose you. He made no mistake. Jeremiah 1:4-5. Then the word of the Lord came to all of us and you at home. This is the word of the Lord to you. Saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew about the drugs, the alcohol, the this, the divorce, the murder. I knew about all your convictions. I knew all that stuff. And I approved of you still because I need you as my chosen instrument. And before you were born, I separated you apart, consecrating, and appointed you as a prophet to the nation. Let's hit Ephesians. I'm through. Even in his own love, God chose us. Actually, picked us out for himself as his own. No mistake. Everyone shout no mistake. In Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be wholly consecrated and set apart for him, blameless. He picked us out in love. Before the foundation. So God needs you. There's hope for your life. No one can disqualify you. No one can counsel you. Well, I live with her. Well, you might can, but God can't. The head can't say to the feet. And when everyone said that, I was a mess going somewhere to happen. God says, give me that piece of clay. I'll use it. Again, I want to go down this list. And I'm going to do something we need to do because I know the Holy Ghost is on somebody. Some of you young people, remember he said bring the colt? See, a lot of times that's a mistake we make. We use up all life, then wait till we get old and cripple can't have one, then beat up, now we're in the hospital. God could have used you as a youth, your mind, your talent. Don't let TikTok, don't let Instagram, don't let all this stuff rob you trying to be cool and trying to fit in. I told my son, I said, boy, I thank God for you. He's cool, he's youth, he's still going to Greensboro, UNCG, but he's taking time. I said, Dad, I'm going to come in, and he's youth. And I'm like, he's taking so much prayer and making my, in my latter days, he's putting something back. Dad, I got the broadcast. Dad, I got an idea. God, we're going to do this for you. Let's do this for a lot. And I'm like, wow, thank God. How many more young people, that creativity God wants to use, but you so caught up. He needs you. He just don't want you. He needs you. He needs your platform in that school. All it takes is one. The official prayer of a righteous man. Again, listen to this as we close. Because if you've someone tried to disqualify you and counsel you, listen to this. Listen to all of these people. Listen to all what they overcame. And if he used them, again, he said, I still need them. Because you would have disqualified. Moses, stutterer. Murderer. Noah got deliriously drunk. And it was some weird stuff he was doing on, because the Bible said his sons had to come over and cover him up. He got into some freakish. God says, I need him. Gideon, low self-esteem. Who am I among so many? I'm the less tribe. Come on. Thomas, a doubter. Martha, a worrier. Peter, bad temper. Always making mistakes. Elijah, suicidal. Bipolar tendencies. David, another murderer and adulterer. He committed adultery. Oh, God says, okay, I can still use him. He's a man of my own heart. He repented. I know what y'all seen, but I still need him. Jacob, cheater, swindler. We talked about him. Wrestled with the angel till he changed his name. Rahab, that's extreme prostitute. Oh, she ain't a straight woman. Yeah, God says, I need him. You can't see him. There are some people right now in the club, on the pole, coming in. Now, I ain't trying to be funny. That you won't even talk to. God says, I know their witness will be powerful. I want to tell y'all something. Do you know that Rahab was in the lineage of Jesus? She's mentioned in the lineage of Jesus. She was actually the bloodline of Jesus. Did you realize that there was two Marys at the cross? There was Mary's mother and Mary Magdalene, who was the one who washed at the cross. You see, we see on this side of people's life all the mistakes and this and the voice, but God says none of that stuff matter. If you, I'll ride a donkey. I'll ride anybody that's humble enough to receive me. I need you. But you got to untie yourself. Right now, I need something real soft. I don't care who it is, whether it's a singer or whatever. Just something really soft. Because I'm going to do something that we just always